Hello, ladies, and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms. I am Sophia, and I will be reading for you today. Today is Friday, the 16th of October, which is the 28th of Tishrei on the Hebrew calendar. This week's parasha is called Bereshit, and today's Aliyah is Genesis 4:23 through 5:24. Before we start reading, though, we're going to bless the Lord and thank Him for His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all peoples, through his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Lamech's wives, listen to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me and a boy for bruising me. If Cain is to be avenged 7 times, then Lamech 77 times. Adam was intimate with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son, and she named him Seth. For God has appointed me another seed in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. To Seth also was born a son. He named him Enosh. Then people began to call on the Lord's name. This is the book of the genealogies of Adam. When God created Adam, in the likeness of God he made him. Male and female he created them, and he blessed them, and called their name Adam when he created them. Adam lived 130 years, then fathered a son in his likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. Then the days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he fathered other sons and daughters. So all Adam's days that he lived were 930 years, and then he died. Seth lived 105 years, then fathered Enosh. Seth lived 807 years after he fathered Enosh, and he fathered sons and daughters. So all Seth's days were 912 years, and then he died. Enosh lived 90 years, then fathered Kenan. Enosh lived 815 years after he fathered Kenan, and he fathered sons and daughters. So all of Enosh's days were 905 years, and then he died. Kenan lived 70 years, then fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived 840 years after he fathered Mahalalel. He fathered sons and daughters. So all of Kenan's days were 910 years, and then he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years, then fathered Yared. Mahalalel lived 830 years after he fathered Yared, and he fathered sons and daughters. So all of Mahalalel's days were 895 years, and then he died. Yared lived 162 years, then fathered Enoch. Yared lived 800 years after he fathered Enoch, and he fathered sons and daughters. So all of Yared's days were 962 years, and then he died. Enoch lived 65 years, then fathered Methuselah. Now Enoch walked with God continually for 300 years after he fathered Methuselah, and he fathered sons and daughters. So all of Enoch's days were 365 years. And Enoch continually walked with God, then he was not there, because God took him. That was Genesis 4:23 through 5:24. Our next portion is Joshua chapter 9. Now when all the kings who were west of the Jordan, in the hill country, in the lowland and along the shore of the great sea, to the vicinity of Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites heard about it, they gathered themselves together as a unified alliance to fight against Joshua and Israel. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they acted craftily. They went and traveled as ambassadors, took worn-out sacks for their donkeys and worn-out wineskins, cracked and patched up, along with worn-out patched-up sandals on their feet and worn-out clothes on them. All the bread of their provision was dry and had become crumbly. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country, so now make a treaty covenant with us." Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you are living among us. How then should we make a covenant with you?" But they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." Then Joshua asked them, "Who are you? Where do you come from?" So they replied to him, "Your servants have come from a very distant country, because of the name of the Lord your God, for we have heard the report of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to King Sihon of Heshbon and to King Og of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take provisions in your hand for the journey. Go to meet them and say to them, "We will be your subjects, so now make a treaty covenant with us. This is our bread, which was hot when we took it for our provision from our homes on the day we left to come to you. But now behold, it is dry and crumbly. And these wineskins, which were new when we filled them, but now see, they are cracked. Also these our garments and our sandals are worn out because of the very long journey." So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not seek counsel from the Lord's mouth. So Joshua made peace with them and cut a covenant with them to let them live, and the leaders of the community swore to them. But it came about at the end of 3 days after they had cut a covenant with them, they heard that they were their neighbors and were living among them. So Bnei Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Givon, Kephirah, Beerot, and Kiryat Yearim. But Bnei Israel did not strike them, because the leaders of the community had sworn to them by the Lord, God of Israel. Then the entire community murmured against the leaders, but all the leaders answered the entire community, "We have sworn to them by the Lord, our God, God of Israel. So now we cannot touch them. This is what we will do to them. We will let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore to them. Yes, let them live." The leaders said further, "But let them chop wood and draw water for the entire community." So the leaders decreed concerning them. Then Joshua summoned them, and he spoke to them, saying, "Why have you deceived us, saying, 'We are very far from you,' when you're living among us? Now therefore you are cursed, and you will never cease to be servants, wood choppers and water carriers, for the house of my God." So they answered Joshua and said, "It was because your servants were clearly told that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moshe to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. So we were very afraid for our lives because of you, and so we did this. Now behold, we are in your hand. Whatever seems good and right in your eyes, do to us. Thus he did to them, delivering them from the hand of Bnei Israel, so they did not slay them. On that day Joshua made them woodchoppers and water carriers for the community, and for the altar of the Lord in the place which he would choose. So it is to this day. That was Joshua chapter 9. Our portion from the writings is Psalm 8. For the music director, upon the Gittite lyre, a psalm of David. Lord our God, how excellent is your name over all the earth! You set your splendor above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and toddlers you established power, because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you established, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you care for him. Yet you made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and majesty. You gave him dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also beasts of the field, birds in the air and fish in the ocean, all passing through the paths of the seas. Lord our God, how excellent is your name over all the earth. That was Psalm chapter 8. Our next portion, which is the last one for Friday, is Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you do tzedakah, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, so that they may be glorified by men. Amen, I tell you, they have their reward in full. But when you do tzedakah, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your tzedakah may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, shall reward you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Amen, I tell you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you. And when you are praying, do not babble on and on like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Therefore pray in this way: Our Father in heaven, sanctified be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. And whenever you fast, do not become sad-faced like the hypocrites, for they neglect their faces to make their fasting evident to men. Amen, I tell you, they have their reward in full. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting won't be evident to men, but to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. Therefore, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stick by one and look down on the other. You cannot serve God and money. So I say to you, do not worry about life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your Father in heaven feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Now if in this way God clothes the grass, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For the pagans eagerly pursue all these things, yet your Father in heaven knows that you need all these. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That was Matthew chapter 6, which was the last reading for Friday. If, however, you're reading the double portion of Apostles this year, you would also read 1 Peter chapter 1. Now we're moving on with the readings for Shabbat, the 17th of October, which is the 29th of Tishrei on the Hebrew calendar. The Torah portion is Genesis 5:25 through 6:8. Metushelah lived 187 years and fathered Lamech, and Metushelah lived 782 years after he fathered Lamech, and he fathered other sons and daughters. So all of Metushelah's days were 969 years, and then he died. Lamech lived 182 years, and he fathered a son. And he named him Noach, saying, "This one will comfort us from our work, and from the pain of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord cursed." Lamech lived 595 years after he fathered Noach, and he fathered sons and daughters. So all of Lamech's days were 777 years, and then he died. And Noach was 500 years old when he fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now when humankind began to multiply on the face of the ground, and daughters were born to them, then the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were good, and they took for themselves wives, and any they chose. Then God said, "My spirit will not remain with humankind forever, since they are flesh. So their days will be 120 years." The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, whenever the sons of God came to the daughters of men and gave birth to them. Those were the mighty men of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil all the time. So the Lord regretted that he had made humankind on the earth, and his heart was deeply pained. So the Lord said, "I will wipe out humankind whom I have created, from the face of the ground, from humankind to livestock, crawling things, and the flying creatures of the sky, because I regret that I made them." But Noach found favor in the Lord's eyes. That was Genesis 5:25 through 6:8. The Haftarah portion for this Shabbat is 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 18 through 42. Then Jonathan said to him, "Tomorrow is the new moon. You'll be missed because your seat will be empty. On the third day, you must go down quickly and come to the place where you hid, as you did on that day, and remain close to the stone Ezel. I will shoot three arrows to the side of it, as though I were shooting at a target. Now look, I will send a lad saying, 'Go find the arrows.' If I specifically say to the lad, 'See, the arrows are on this side of you, get them,' then come, for it is safe for you and no danger, as the Lord lives. But if I say to the boy, 'Look, the arrows are beyond you,' then go your way, for the Lord has released you. But as for the matter which I and you have spoken about, behold, the Lord is between me and you forever." So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon came, the king sat down to eat a meal. So the king sat on his seat as usual, the seat by the wall. Jonathan stood up and Avner sat down by Shaul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Shaul said nothing that day, for he thought, "It must be an accident. He must be ceremonially unclean. Yes, that's it. He's unclean." Yet it came to pass on the day following the new moon, the second day, that David's place was still empty. So Shaul asked his son Jonathan, "Why didn't yet Jesse's son come to the meal yesterday or today?" Jonathan answered Shaul, "David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem, as he said, 'Please let me go, for we are going to have a family feast in the town, and my brother has commanded me. So now, if I have found favor in your eyes, let me go, please, to see my brothers.' That's why he hasn't come to the king's table." Then Shaul's rage blazed against Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, don't I know that you've chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on earth, neither you nor your kingship will be secure. Now send word and bring him to me, for he is a son of death." But Jonathan answered his father Shaul, "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Then Shaul hurled his spear at him to strike him down. So Jonathan knew that his father was determined to put David to death. So Jonathan rose up from the table in fierce anger and did not eat food the second day of the new month, for he was grieved over David, because because his father had dishonored him. It came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out to the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad was with him. He said to his lad, "Run, find now the arrows that I'm about to shoot." Now as the lad was running, he shot an arrow past him. When the lad reached the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried out after the lad and said, "Isn't the arrow beyond you?" Then Jonathan called out after the lad, "Quick, hurry, don't stand there." So Jonathan's lad picked up the arrow and came to his master. But the lad knew nothing, only Jonathan and David knew the arrangement. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to his lad and said to him, "Go take them back to the town." As soon as the lad was gone, David emerged from the south side and fell on his face to the ground and bowed down 3 times. Then they kissed each other and wept together, though David wept more. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in the shalom that we both have sworn to each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever.'" That was 1 Samuel 20, verse 18 through 42. Our next and very last portion for this week is Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. In unrighteousness they suppress the truth, because what can be known about God is plain to them, for God has shown it to them, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen ever since the creation of the world, being understood through the things that have been made. So people are without excuse, for even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or give him thanks. Instead, their thinking became futile, and their senseless hearts were made dark. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for an image in the form of mortal man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them over in the evil desires of their hearts to impurity, to dishonor their bodies with one another. They traded the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to shameful passions. Even their women exchanged natural relations for what is against nature. Likewise, the men abandoned natural relations with women and were burning with passion toward one another. Men committing shameful acts with other men, and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And just as they did not see fit to recognize God, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do what is not fitting. They became filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. They are foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve death. They do not only do them, but also approve of others who practice the same." That was Romans 1:18 through 32, which concludes the reading of Daily Bread for Busy Moms this week. I hope that you have a wonderful and restful, blessed Shabbat. I'm Sophia with Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shabbat Shalom.